Picture this. You're halfway through a DIY car fix, tools scattered everywhere, and boom, you realize you're missing a part. It's okay, because you know whatever it is, it's on eBay. They've got everything. Brakes, headlights, cold air intakes, whatever you need. And it's guaranteed to fit, which means no more crossing your fingers and hoping you ordered the right thing. All the parts you need, at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit, every time. eBay. Things people love.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Oscar, I think, showed who's in charge out there.
A champion of Formula 3, a champion of Formula 2, is the new championship leader in Formula 1. Oscar Piastri wins the Saudi Grand Prix.
Got a lot of fun to have this year.
Confidence. Confidence makes you faster.
He doesn't get pressurized and crumble.
We're joined by a man who very nearly got a podium. It was a storming drive. Lando Norris.
I want to be perfect, and I think I need to accept a little bit more that I'm not going to be perfect.
Is Verstappen genuinely in this?
Max will always be a threat.
Charles Leclerc scores Ferrari's first podium finish of the season.
Well done, Charles.
Thank you, Brian.
Leclerc did a really good tyre whispering job.
Can Lewis see a way out of his current troubles, do you think?
I look at the data from Lewis every weekend, and the trait is the same.
What a performance from Oscar Piastri, who leads the World Championship for the first time in his Formula One career after his third win of the season. Welcome to Jeddah for F1 Nation's review of the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. I'm Tom Clarkson, and joining me in the paddock is some Le Mans royalty, record 9-time winner of the 24-hour race, Tom Christensen, and 2-time podium finisher, Alex Brundle. Guys, thank you for coming on the show. We're in the McLaren hospitality area where, of course, the celebrations are in full flow. Can we just start by getting a few thoughts on the race? TK, we'll start with you.
Brilliant race. Fireworks from the start there with Oscar having a great getaway, launching on the inside of Max, and was able to stay on track. Max short-coded and got a 5-second penalty, and that, in a way, put a little damper on the race, but the race really unfolded afterwards. Max had the speed, and it was great until the very end. And seeing Lando Norris coming through as well, I mean, I think the race had it all. But it's thrilling here. It's a fast circuit, and under the floodlight, I really found it interesting from start to finish.
And Alex, how cool was Oscar Piastri today?
He's always super cool, isn't he? Always super cool, especially at the start. You know, he put the car exactly where he needed it to be. Got really quite a long way up alongside Max Verstappen, coming from the dirty side of the grid, of course, as well. It was a mega start, actually, from Piastri. And then, as TK said, Verstappen did have the pace throughout the full race distance, but the penalty just too much to overcome in the end. We really thought here that McLaren were going to straight run away with it, but it wasn't the case. They actually had to work, despite the penalty, for that victory all the way through.
It's funny you say that, because think back to Friday, just 2 days ago. I think McLaren put 1.2 seconds on the field in practice.
Yeah.
And yet here we are, and Lando Norris even said after the race in the TV pen that he thought the Red Bull was the fastest car.
We got mugged a little bit trying to analyse that, and I think everybody did. In FP2, of course, you had the crash for Tsunoda, which really interrupted the race runs, and then McLaren have looked super strong in the warmer temperatures. So actually, I think it gave us a bit of a skewed feel for how quick McLaren were coming into the game. I expected them to be faster than they were, but even still.
Yeah, but nevertheless, I mean, Red Bull was surprised about the pace Max put on today as well. On Friday, they would have bought into a P2 straight away. And now, talking to them, they You can even talk them into be a little bit disappointed of not winning, a little bit disappointed with the situation at the first corner. And then, I mean, he's finishing 2.8 seconds behind and he got a 5-second penalty. So that's easy in that way. It's very simple mathematics to say that he could really much have very much have fighted for the win.
Yeah, but is it too simple? 2.8 seconds behind Piastri at the flag. He got a 5-second penalty.
Of course not. But it just shows that they had a stronger pace than definitely they expected on Friday. And I think that says something for Red Bull, that they simply never give up and always try to maximize the things. But they expected the rear tire in general to overheat and cause quite a big impact on the pace of Max. But even the hard tire was working really well, very strong. And as you said, the stronger pace on the hard tire, Max showed that. I know that Oscar was in the lead, but nevertheless, I mean, it must give them a lot of hope until another hot race, because Miami is not going to be cooler than here.
Has anything changed for Oscar Piastri as a result of this race? He's now got a 10-point lead in the Drivers' Championship. He is the hunted now.
Confidence. Confidence makes you faster. And I think this year he came out of the bet for the 2025 season already with that mindset. In a way, he got a little bit unlucky at Melbourne, but you know, the things he has done a very good job, and he's leading the championship this year because he has been the best when you now look the five first races. If you look the first four races, you could put George Russell also up there as being incredibly consistent to me, but obviously not sitting in a McLaren how it's performing right now.
The points environment has changed, but I think the thing that's changed for Oscar now is absolutely nothing, and that's the point, like in the way that he approaches the race weekend. You know, he seems comfortable chasing. I've seen him through Formula 2 and Formula 3 win championships. He's entirely comfortable leading from mid-year. He doesn't get pressurized and crumble. He just approaches everything like exactly the same. It's fantastic sports psychology, that he has to approach it the same every time.
I can only agree, but also springs to mind his pass in Baku last year on Charles Leclerc. It's a mega pass. The pass today on the outside into turn 22 of Lewis Hamilton. You know, he sees an opportunity before we see it sometimes. And I think this really talks to somebody who any opposition takes with great respect, because they don't know when he's going to pass you.
Poor old Lewis. Oscar's done that to him twice now. Do you remember turn 9 at Albert Park in Melbourne? Quick left-hander, and he does it again here.
Yeah.
He's certainly brave. TK, you said something there about confidence makes you faster. Now, I've always had this firm belief that racing drivers don't get faster. They just get better at using the tools they have. Mm-hmm. How do you think confidence makes Oscar Piastri faster?
I can put it another way. If you don't have the confidence or you have the pressure to go faster, overdriving cuts in a little bit. These cars, I mean, I had the privilege, actually, now we're sitting where we are. I tested a modern Formula One car last year at Red Bull Ring, which has slow corners and high-speed corners. And I can understand at high-speed corners, it's physique. It's if you're brave and if you have the strength to go through there. And the aggressivity. But the medium speed and the slow speed corners is more about braking or trail braking, and in particularly turning and accelerating out of slow corners. That if you have confidence, you allow yourself to let the car do it. If you don't have the confidence, I have the feeling like then you try too much and you work the tire too much and you get too much temperature and you might even get slower in accelerating. That's my opinion. And with confidence, you allow the car to do that, and you're just getting a smile and you get faster, especially in consistency.
It's relatively simple biology, actually. You know, when you look at it, the brain is the center of the nervous system. You're in fight or flight mode when you're behind the wheel of a racing car. Every touch you add on the brake pedal, you know, you're dealing in 5 or 10 bar of brake, tiny degrees of steering wheel, tiny changes in velocity of steering. The way you approach the car is an extension of your nervous system. You know, you don't think I'm going to turn in now. You know, it's way more plugged into your brain than that. So, you know, if your mind is in a happy place, all of a sudden those touches just become more deft. And as soon as you start to deal with any race car, let alone a high downforce Formula One car in that way, you find time and speed and less tire degradation.
And a little bit lower pulse rate. A little bit lower pulse rate is also happening with confidence. So it's all these things I believe have an impact on when you are in the zone, when you are in Zen. And of course, the whole grid here is under enormous pressure. But a good overtaking here, good lap times here, good team, good radio communication. All of these things are in making an impact on any of these human beings because they're real athletes. So everything has an influence.
We have a very happy McLaren team boss with us now, Zak Brown. First and fourth, you must be really happy.
That was great because that was a tough race. Oscar, I think, showed who's in charge out there, which was great to see. Lando had an epic race. And, you know, the team to put together the car, which was kind of a Lego set on Saturday, they did a great job. Strategy was right. The hard tires, which was a bit of a risk because if there was a safety car, I think that would have caught us out if it was early in the race. But I think we walk away Sunday going, we pretty much got the most out of our Sunday race.
Last one for me. How do you see the pecking order now?
Very close. I mean, us, Red Bull, Ferrari, and then Merck was very strong up until kind of the last part of the race. So I think all four cars are pretty much right on top of each other. And I think one upgrade can make a big difference on any of these four teams.
Look, I know you've got to go. Zak, very well done from us. Thank you very much.
2025 marks the 60th anniversary of the first Honda Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix. More than half a century later, the drive and innovation that powers Honda Racing still inspires everything Honda does, from F1 victories to the Civic Hybrid being named the 2025 North American Car of the Year. Honda Racing is leading the charge when it comes to innovation. And here's where it gets really cool. Every Honda-powered F1 car is packed with sensors, hundreds of them, all feeding live data straight back to the Honda Racing team in Sakura, Japan. We're talking about real-time analysis that helps engineers squeeze out every ounce of performance on the track. And the amazing part? That same cutting-edge thinking is making its way into the cars we drive every day, thanks to the expertise of Honda Racing engineers. Their work has led to advances like the hybrid technology now used in Honda's consumer vehicles. The 2025 Civic Sedan Hybrid is engineered for fun, from the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Civic and the latest Honda innovations at honda.com. 2025 marks the 60th anniversary of the first Honda Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix. More than half a century later, the drive and innovation that powers Honda Racing still inspires everything Honda does, from F1 victories to the Civic Hybrid being named the 2025 North American Car of the Year. Honda Racing is leading the charge when it comes to innovation. And here's where it gets really cool. Every Honda-powered F1 car is packed with sensors, hundreds of them, all feeding live data straight back to the Honda Racing team in Sakura, Japan. We're talking about real-time analysis that helps engineers squeeze out every ounce of performance on the track. And the amazing part? That same cutting-edge thinking is making its way into the cars we drive every day, thanks to the expertise of Honda Racing engineers. Their work has led to advances like the hybrid technology now used in Honda's consumer vehicles. The 2025 Civic Sedan Hybrid is engineered for fun, from the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Civic and the latest Honda innovations at honda.com.
We're joined by a man who very nearly got a podium. It was a storming drive. Lando Norris, just having a cool down drink. How satisfying was that one?
I mean, I was satisfied. Lewis played a good game in the beginning. So, you know, it took me 3 laps to get past Lewis. And you know, if I'm complaining about everything, which I always do, the first one was just, I thought I would get away with getting him and pulling away. The second one, he's pretty early on the brakes and I more had to try to avoid him because it kind of caught me off guard a little bit, which meant he did 2 in a row, and then obviously third time I learned my lesson. But That was probably the only thing. The rest of it was a good race. The pace was very strong. Like to finish 9 seconds off the lead, I was pretty surprised by it, because around here the clean air is, it's incredible the difference it makes. You know, even when one car is 5 seconds ahead, you don't think it's affecting you. He pits out the way, then the car comes alive. The tires cool down a little bit, so it's tough to follow. Like the overtaking wasn't too bad, but just getting within the 1 second was probably the hardest bit, but I'm happy with the fourth. It was a good recovery from yesterday.
I reckon you actually probably had the right strategy. It looked like the hard was just mega.
I think if I didn't do what I did yesterday, you know, and you kind of just went off in the lead, and it probably was a better strategy, I would have said. But like Charles did a good job on a medium. You know, he went, 35 laps or something on the medium, which is quite impressive, because there's quite a bit of wear around here, you know. So for him to get 35 or 30 laps, whatever
29.
Impressive.
Yeah.
To go that far. But we've seen quite often, like, Charles in some of the race paces has been pretty damn strong. So it's not a surprise. Like, you know, people like to talk about these things a lot, but he drove a good race, and therefore I didn't have much tire delta on him. I obviously was quick. I was catching him and catching everyone ahead, but one or two laps, not enough. So, yeah, it's the way it is.
You left the circuit late. You were doing the briefing very late last night and going late back. When you left here, I think it was nearly 1:30 at night when you left the team last night. Did you know already there you were going to start on the hard tire?
No, it was not decided until we were on the grid today. Because we knew it, like the risk reward level for starting on the hard tire is high. Like it's risky, but more rewarding if it goes. And today it went well. But, you know, like if there's a red flag on lap one, I'm screwed, because everyone on the medium will box for the hard tire. We'll have the free change to the hard tire, and then they can go to the end. So,
and that was close coming.
And it was, I know there was a safety car, so I was praying for it not to go red. But
what was the mindset on the grid? You were starting P10 and a lot of unfamiliar cars around you. Did you kind of relish that in any way?
I don't know. I was quite relaxed. I just put my headphones in for the first time ever. I've never wore headphones in on the grid.
What music were you listening to?
I cannot tell you that.
I can't remember or don't want to.
I'd rather not tell you.
Usher or J-Lo, I hope.
A bit of Aqua Barbie Girl going on.
No, it's a song that me and my friends, I think a lot of people would know it. But it's just, I don't know, it's a song I like to listen to. But I'm not going to give you any clues. I shouldn't say, but just some music.
Lando, what I loved about your race is you look like you had really fun out there today.
I mean, I was trying to. It's when I perform well, is, you know, when I'm having fun and I'm relaxed. I'm probably just putting a bit too much pressure on myself at the minute, not because of any reason, and not because of the championship and all of these things, just because I just put too much pressure on myself, because I want to do well. Like, I want to do so well, you know. I want to be pole. I want to win. I want to be perfect. And I think I need to accept a little bit more that I'm not going to be perfect, and I'm making mistakes because I'm trying to be perfect rather than the other way around. So I think I just need to chill out a little bit, have a bit more trust in my speed, because my speed today and my speed in every race this season has been I think the best. You know, I'm very confident that I can win the races if I just give myself a better chance on Saturday. So it's easier said than done. And, you know, I need to go out and do a better job on Saturdays, but that's what I'll be working on.
Lando, well done, well done. Whatever you listen to on the grid,
good job,
keep
mate.
Listening to it, all right? Oh, yeah. He seems pretty pucker there, guys, wouldn't you say? I think he's smiley, he's relaxed.
Relieved as well, after, I think.
Yeah. We said on the grid that's the performance he needed. He needed to immediately redress the momentum, and that's what he's done. I think he's also... He's always so enlightening when he talks, because he shares a lot with the media, whoever's talking to him.
Very open.
And he recognises that he's got to believe that he himself is enough without having to reach or try anything extra. And I think when Lando does that, he's so, so quick and so, so able, getting in his own way a little bit.
Can I ask you guys about something he said there? I want to be perfect.
Yeah,
I was quite interested to hear him say that. And there is no such thing as perfect in my book. As a racing driver, are you just putting too much pressure on yourself, because perfection isn't possible?
I think it's something that happens to very much the youngsters of this era, and especially for a youngster like Lando, who's been prepared so completely for Formula One, that actually they're groomed to seek perfection. And in some way then, you know, when things don't go right, it almost is kind of unacceptable in the mind, you know. And a big part of, I think, Oscar's mindset is actually the kind of, oh, well, that didn't work out, you know. Some of the strongest, I don't know about you, TK, but some of the strongest teammates I've ever had in an endurance car would make the most egregious mistake and just never talk about it again and just move on straight away. They had such mental strength.
No, but was that a case of don't mention the war, or did you all move on?
No. It wasn't a case of them blanking it out or not mentioning it. They just never thought about it. And Oscar's like that. Lando dwells on this stuff, you know?
Yeah, I think perfection is, of course, is good. You always look for something better. There's no doubt of that. But for sure, you should also definitely enjoy doing it. And probably you don't have to make more than yourself happy in that sense. I mean, he's very open. He's a lovely guy. But sometimes he probably should need to carry that time just for himself. You can also look at it in that they have a lovely dimension, the two young guys here at McLaren, but Oscar must also be a little bit, he doesn't speak that much, you know, but he's always incredibly smiley. Everyone loves both of them, but they're very different individuals, and he's kind of the silent assassin. He's always not speaking too much, but just doing the things with a smile, and don't explain himself so much. And of course it's good to hear them, but I think it just creates sometimes extra pressure if you have to explain these small situations which occurs in a race, because you cannot be perfect and on top of everything, and I think that takes sometimes maybe have taken him a little bit off guard, just like he said with Lewis Hamilton in the play. It took him 3 laps. If he had passed him after 2 laps, he would have been 3rd today.
Creates a lot of ripples, doesn't it? Because he explains, and then he explained why he explained, and then goes on to explain that. And you know, when you've just touched the surface like that and generated that ripple, then there's such an echo chamber, the paddock, that you find yourself in a position where you're endlessly talking about how you.
Yeah, TC, yourself, I mean, as a journalist, media person, and there's so much media following the top of the world in Formula One. And of course, everyone is trying to analyze. So sometimes I think it's fantastic to be open. But in a sport like this at the highest level, it allows people to sort of, like you ask us a question about it.
Everything has an influence. So let's now fast forward to qualifying in Miami. And I want to focus on Lando Norris. Qualifying didn't go well in Bahrain. Of course, Q3 here, he had the accident. Is that going to linger in his mind? Is that going to affect his performance in Miami? I'm quite fascinated to get your thoughts on his approach in Miami.
There'll be a lot of running before qualifying. So he'll try and settle himself through those kind of free practice sessions, get a feeling in the car, and then they're into their psychological process of trying specifically to exclude those emotions. Will he be able to overcome that? Honestly, Tom, like, I look at the crowd in the grandstands, the fanfare around the beginning of the sessions, around the beginning of the races, I have no idea how they block it out. Absolutely none. I'd be in pieces as a driver trying to drive here in Formula One. The intensity of the pressure, having qualified and raced and led classes at Le Mans and that kind of stuff, I'm happily and open to stand out of my way here enough to say I'd be in pieces. So I don't know how they achieve that. It's going to be the main challenge for Lando. It's going to be the main challenge for Lando to try to overcome that this year. You know, 20-4 was his qualifying record to Oscar Piastri last year. Piastri's taken more than half, just under half actually, of the pole positions already at the beginning of this season. So, yeah, that's going to be the challenge of the season for Lando.
Do we think it's a two-horse race still in this World Championship? Or are we now seeing signs of a Red Bull recovery? I'm blown away by the way they're able to transform that car between a Friday and a Sunday. They've done it repeatedly this year. If Red Bull can find some consistency, is Verstappen genuinely in this?
For sure. Max will always be a threat and everyone will acknowledge.
But has he got
that.
The car?
Not right now. If you finish the championship in May, maybe not. But over the season, I'm sure you always have to count that. But certainly, Lando and Oscar are more evenly matched. And that is like, I heard Lando talking a little bit more that maybe he doesn't need to find the last half a tenth to stay on track, because in the race he feels, that's what I learned from him, he feels like he done a mega race today, and that means that his race pace is something which he should always allow him to fall back on in case he's not starting from pole.
Coming back to their pure confidence, about specifically Formula One in this era, is the temperature of the tyre hates being overdriven as well. You know, this latest specification of Pirelli tyre, the more energy you put through it, you just go backwards. To come to your question, of course Verstappen is a threat. I mean, look what he did this weekend. Zach, absolutely correct. They're only an upgrade away from being in a dominant position again. And Red Bull are a well-oiled machine in delivering the pit stops, in getting everything right.
If you were Red Bull, would you throw everything at 2025, given the rule changes that are coming in 26 and the uncertainty with that? Do you think they're close enough to justify that decision?
I hope they are. I mean, the way 2025 has started, it has everything into it to be the greatest season ever in Formula One. So I just hope everyone is throwing it. It's the last season of this regulation, and it has never been closer. It has never been better. And as you mentioned, I mean, Ferrari and Mercedes are not long away. I'm actually, and Ferrari maximized with Charles Leclerc to be on the podium today. That was sort of a brilliant strategy, just staying long on the medium compared to Lando starting on the hard, staying long. Actually, Charles made a fantastic strategy in recovering a podium. But they also need to get a real kickstart into the season. And I think this was a good motivator for Ferrari today.
Let's talk about it. I think Ferrari were very close in race pace, and they were unstuck by their qualifying pace again.
But Leclerc, as you say, TK, did a really good tyre whispering job. Interestingly, they tried to do the same thing with Lewis. They ran Lewis longer than anybody else on the medium, and he couldn't do it. He couldn't make it far enough into the race. So, you know, Leclerc, it's interplay, of course, between the team and the driver in making that strategy work. We give Ferrari a lot of hassle about their strategy, but I totally agree with you. That was a really smart move from them today. And that their car has been better at dealing with the surface temperature of the tyre throughout the year so far. So how smart to see the strategy at an angle and play to the strengths of your own chassis rather than trying to necessarily beat everyone else at the same game.
Hamilton struggling once again, although just to reference what Lando was talking about and that battle they had, I was reminded of 2021, Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton, and you really felt for a minute that it was the sort of the master teaching the boy a little bit, and then eventually the boy got it and was like, ah, I understand now, and off Lando went, he made the pass. But Lewis would have enjoyed that. Can Lewis see a way out of his current troubles, do you think?
He's talked about moving the car toward him, and he's talked about moving himself towards the car. I look at the data from Lewis every weekend, and the trait is the same. So he goes into the high-speed corners, he hits a little bit more brake pressure than Leclerc, and you can draw a line directly up the wheel speed graph to the steering trace, and the brake aligned perfectly with a tiny little bit of movement. So he just upsets the Ferrari, like, everywhere. Leclerc is just missed a measured on the brakes. We know that Lewis had a bit of a problem with the same thing. I saw the data with Lewis having a bit of a problem with the same thing at Mercedes. Can he coach himself out of a lifetime's worth of driving technique to move towards a car? We'll find out. But, you know, you look at Carlos Sainz at Williams now. Great weekend for Sainz. Qualified in the top six, got points, and has completely engaged with their way of doing. Lewis still behind the game at Ferrari, so you wonder if it's going to be possible.
Andrea Stella, team principal of McLaren, came out with, I thought, a great line on the Saturday evening when he was being asked this kind of a question about what Lando needs to do to improve his qualifying. And Andrea said, these cars are too quick to think in. It all has to be instinctive if you're going to get the most out of them, which would imply that if you're Lewis and you're having to think too hard behind the wheel, then you're going to be slow.
I don't agree completely, but I know which way what you wanna say about it. And I think at high speed they're insanely fast. So yes, if you have to come into the medium speed corner, you have to brake, and I would link it a little bit of overdriving, a little bit of pushing too much. So you just push a little bit too much to get the reaction of the car, but they don't really like that, these ground effect cars. So that's the thing. You have to be a little bit marginal below the limit. So for me, you have to think. Otherwise, you're overdriving.
It's a killer trait to have in a car, that, especially if you're like a little bit behind, because always, you know, you inevitably go and try and find the time. Then it punishes you again. Then you go and try and find the time. Then it gets worse. It gets worse and worse and worse. I tell you what, I went and stood out at turn 22 in the dark in FP2. And the team at F1 TV asked me what the attitude of the various cars was through turn 22. And I was like, I have no idea. I'm just trying to get as far away from the wall as I possibly can. It was so, so fast. It's unbelievable.
The thing about Lewis is that it is a trait that we've now seen over the last few years, isn't it? The struggle over one lap. And with it being so close now, if you're struggling over one lap, it's very hard to recover, because there just isn't the discrepancy between the cars to make progress in the race. So Lewis still has work to do. Guys, can you explain one thing for me? Where did Mercedes' pace go in the Grand Prix? Such a mesmerizing one lap performance by George Russell, and yet he never seemed happy with the car.
So they were the first two, apart from those who took the safety car into the pits, lap 19 and lap 20 for Russell and Antonelli respectively. So they pitted early and then they ran out of hard tyres at the end, which is why they were in trouble. And Russell also damaged the surface of his set of hards. So that's where the pace went. The reason why they had to pit so early, when you're listening to the radios, appears to be that they overheated the mediums in the first stint. So it all sort of fell apart from there.
They were talking about being toast very early.
But it sort of smacks of the horrid old days of the Mercedes. I kind of felt that the progress they'd made with this year's car meant that they weren't suffering so much with surface temperatures, but this race is 5 weeks later than it was last year. It's the hottest race that we've had so far this year, and maybe
if you take
it's all coming home to roost.
If you take historically, then you saw last year in the cooler condition, which it was in, let's say, Las Vegas, when you saw them there, when you saw them in Qatar. It sounds strange, but Qatar was actually a very cool and cold race last year, and there they were strong at those two events.
Quite a thermally dominated race as well, because we were a tyre compound set softer than we were here last year, so they're on a compound softer than they were.
But credit where it's due. Wasn't George brilliant on Saturday? I mean, actually, that top three shootout, Piastri, Verstappen and Russell, was one of the most mesmerizing qualifying sessions I can remember. I'm kind of reminded back to that qualifying a couple of years ago, 2023 in Monaco, when Verstappen and Alonso were going for it. This one gripped me every bit as much. And Russell is Mr. Consistent. I mean, I know when he was at Williams, he got the nickname, you know, Mr. Saturday. But my goodness, he did it again here, didn't he?
I mean, in the floodlight, with the drama there was just after, obviously, the red flag with Norris, and then just seeing the spectacle there, it was great. It was very, very thrilling, and it just so shows why Formula One is such a fascinating sport. And they did it. A hundredth on pole for Max in front of Oscar, and I think it was 0.113.
Picture this. You're halfway through a DIY Carfix, tools scattered everywhere, and boom. You realize you're missing a part. It's okay, because you know whatever it is, it's on eBay. They've got everything. Brakes, headlights, cold air intakes, whatever you need. And it's guaranteed to fit, which means no more crossing your fingers and hoping you ordered the right thing. All the parts you need, at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit, every time. eBay. Things. People. Love.
The Jeff Wyler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Wyler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
There's loads more to come on our review of the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix in a moment. And once we're done, why not check out F1's other official podcasts? This week, my guest on F1 Beyond the Grid is the man who's played a huge part in McLaren's transformation into world champions. It's the man who basically runs the factory, Chief Operating Officer Piers Thin. That's available on your podcast app from Wednesday. And Alpine's Oliver Oakes is on this week's F1 Explains for an Ask a Team Principal special. That's out on Friday. Guys, I feel we've discussed the front at length under the topic of any other business. Who stood out? I mean, you mentioned Williams and Carlos Sainz, Alex.
Yeah, I think they did a good job. They did a good job today. They did the old truck and trailer with a DRS to keep Hadjar behind them, which impressed me a lot. We spoke to James Vowles at the end of the day, and he said, I was actually really impressed because he said, we just leave that to the drivers, you know, to manage the tyre and manage the DRS distance. We go, will you please do it? And they go, yes, yes. And then we leave them to it, which for me is impressive piece of driving, isn't it?
Yeah, the great teamwork. And Carlos Sainz obviously doing that. When was it he won in
Singapore 2 years ago? He's the king of that, isn't he?
He's the king of that. And that was good. But I mean, I will also say I'm still incredibly impressed by Hadjar. And in general, in the Racing Bulls, they came with a low downforce configuration. Basically, a good race with them being... They were 10th, but
yeah,
obviously Lawson got the penalty.
Penalty finished 12th, yeah.
12th, but... On the road, they were 10th and 11th.
Now, one team that didn't have such a good weekend is Aston Martin. I couldn't help looking in qualifying and seeing that they were half a second slower in qualifying, despite throwing three sets of softs at Alonso in Q1. They were half a second slower than they were last year at this track.
I get the sense that they've checked out, you know, from the season already. You look at it.
Really?
Yeah.
Race five?
You look at it, and you know you've got Adrian Newey standing in Silverstone, penning a 2026 car. Remember, they're one of the teams that will have an engine change into next year as well. So they moved to a Honda engine. It's a massive job
making their own gearbox.
And I don't know. You just look at where they are in the championship. There have been some points for Lance. I don't know. Maybe that's unfair to say, and they'll bring some upgrades and come back to it. But
well, Alex,
it's not
I think
been great.
The evidence would support everything you've just said in that Adrian Newey is not investing any time on this year's car. And I think if they still believed in it, maybe he would.
At least that's what we get to hear. That's a public statement that he's not working on it. But still, here in the Jeddah Corniche, with Aramco very much present, the main sponsor, obviously, on the team. It was a sad showing. But still, I mean, definitely Alonso was tested for his reflexes when Bortoleto went went to the outside into turn one in the battle, I believe, was with Hadjar.
Would have been a fun post-race management discussion between Alonso and Bortoleto, wouldn't it?
Well, definitely it was a well-saved piece of driving between the wall and the right side wheel set of the Kick Sauber of Bortoleto.
It's such a spectacular track. I mean, moments like that are heart in mouth, aren't they? But actually, you're talking about going out to turn 22 on Friday. There is nowhere else on the calendar quite like Jeddah, is there? In terms of seeing a Formula One car do its thing.
You know, the drivers, kind of, we get a moment with them sometimes before and after our interviews, and they kind of all express that they love the place. But they're also like, you get past Jeddah and you're like, okay, cool, I'm all right, I made it. Yeah, not too much damage, I made it through, you know.
They don't blink. 292, a new lap record in qualifying from Max Verstappen. 292 kilometers an hour average. So first sector, turn one and two are pretty slow, but it's a fast sector one. And it's a very fast sector two. An incredibly fast sector three. And obviously it's full of blind corners. So respect is due. And now they're ready to move on to Miami.
Awesome. Well, guys, thank you very much for your time. We always end the show by just getting your driver of the day. Who's it going to be?
Lando Norris. Because he drove very well. And he also stopped to talk to you, which was very nice and polite.
What impressed you particularly about him?
Good stint on the hard, gave the information to the team, which helped out Oscar Piastri. Very nice race with Hamilton, made his way through the field.
Yeah. TK?
Oscar Piastri, for now leading the World Championship. And and taking the burden of McLaren right from the very start. But it was a great race for all the top runners. It's just, again, the level is just so great that it's hard to choose, but mine is on Oscar for this victory here.
Okay, well, that's one each for the McLaren guys. I'm going to throw in Charles Leclerc. I thought his first podium of the year, I thought he was tremendous the way he got the medium tyre to last as long as it did. So very well done to him. Very well done to you guys. Thank you again very much for your time. Now, before I go, here's your chance to win an incredible F1 partner prize bundle this Easter, thanks to F1 Unlocked. The amazing prizes on offer include a £100 voucher for the official F1 store, a 2025 Miami Grand Prix poster, a Hot Wheels F1 diecast bundle, and a Lego F1 collection bundle. You do not want to miss out on those exciting prizes. So to enter, go to f1.com/Easter-unlocked-podcast. Let me give that to you again. It's f1.com/Easter-unlocked-podcast. The link will also be in the description for this episode. Search the pages on that site and go on a hunt to find all the hidden clues for your chance to win that incredible F1 partner prize bundle. Full terms and conditions are on that page too, and entries close on Tuesday, the 22nd of April. Good luck. And for more reaction and analysis from Jeddah, go to f1tv.com or the official F1 app, and in selected countries, you can watch the highlights on F1 TV. We will, of course, be back next Monday with our preview of the Miami Grand Prix. But for now, thank you very much for listening. F1 Nation is produced by Formula One and Audio Boom Studios.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
2025 marks the 60th anniversary of the first Honda Formula One victory in the 1965 Mexico Grand Prix. More than half a century later, the drive and innovation that powers Honda racing still inspires everything Honda does, from F1 victories to the Civic Hybrid being named the 2025 North American Car of the Year. Honda Racing is leading the charge when it comes to innovation. And here's where it gets really cool. Every Honda-powered F1 car is packed with sensors, hundreds of them, all feeding live data straight back to the Honda Racing team in Sakura, Japan. We're talking about real-time analysis that helps engineers squeeze out every ounce of performance on the track. And the amazing part? That same cutting-edge thinking is making its way into the cars we drive every day, thanks to the expertise of Honda Racing engineers. Their work has led to advances like the hybrid technology now used in Honda's consumer vehicles. The 2025 Civic Sedan Hybrid is engineered for fun, from the racetrack to your driveway. Learn more about the Civic and the latest Honda innovations at Honda.com.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.